Let's talk today about upgrading SQL Server. I am Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. I'm a SQL Server Technical Specialist. Here's a quick agenda for today. We're going to talk about some of the value of SQL Server 2008 R2 for the business and technical decision maker, as well as some of the tools and resources that you can leverage in doing an upgrade from SQL 2000 or 2005 to 2008. Also, we'll talk about some techniques that you can upgrade from a previous version like 2000, 2005, to 2008, different types of upgrades that are possible. And then we'll look at some tips, tricks, and tasks around upgrading, around the pre- and post-upgrade process. So that's a quick agenda for today. Let's talk about the value for business decision makers of doing an upgrade, because I guess the question is, why would you go through the challenges of doing an upgrade if you're happy with the way things are, and if there's no impetus to move forward? Well, there's lots of value in SQL Server 2008 R2 in the sense that you get lots of business value around things like licensing improvements, improvements in compression and storage, having to minimize things like third-party software for things like compression or auditing, because it's an efficient software system, not having to hire additional IT personnel. You get better productivity per user, so you're going to see increased productivity for things like Resource Governor, and you get better database performance by all the different types of metricing and governance that SQL Server 2008 has. Also, you get improved security. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And the DBA team in general is going to have a much better experience than they had in previous versions. So all those are value that that come to the business decision maker around 2008 R2. For the TDM, the technical decision maker, you get improvements in scale, availability, security, manageability, data warehouse and data mining, management in general, integration services, which is our ETL tool, and improvements in both analysis and reporting, things like Gemini and things like the latest improvements in our reporting services, where you can do things like hook into, say, a Power Pivot report by clicking on our RSS feed. There's also improvements in reporting around mapping and geospatial improvements as well. So let's look at this triangle, and kind of the way this works is that you've got minor changes, moderate changes, and significant changes that an upgrade kind of forces. So what you want to do is you want to find these minor changes, you want to leverage those minor changes in an upgrade. And kind of how that works is these minor changes require really very little in terms of your SQL Server environment, but you get all the advantages. So you say you do an upgrade from 2000 to 2008. Out of the box, with very little changes in terms of a DBA's time, you get all the value of things like data and backup compression, transparent data encryption, resource governor, filtered indexes. All these advantages and improvements in scalability all come out of the box in SQL Server 2008 R2 just by doing the upgrade. So that's a value add right there. Then as you kind of go forward, over time you can add things like policy-based management, performance data collection, enhanced date and time support, T-SQL enhancement, sparse column, service broker, et cetera, et cetera. So you get these things as you move forward over time. And then over a longer term, say you want to use things like ADO.NET data services or entity framework link, change data capture, hierarchy, ID, file stream, and spatial support. Those things take longer to implement and you get more benefits. So again, by making very little changes here and doing the upgrade, you're going to get lots of value out of SQL Server 2008 R2 right out of the gate after doing an upgrade. Also, you want to be aware of features that get deprecated. That's going to affect kind of the moderate to significant application changes. And then your compatibility level, making sure that as you move from, say, a SQL Server 2005 to 2008, that as you change your compatibility level to the latest and greatest edition of SQL Server, that you're not breaking things as you go forward. Let's talk about the tools and resources that you would need to do an upgrade of SQL Server. All these are free resources. They're all on the web. And as you can see here, if you click on any of these links, you're going to be able to get things like the Upgrade Assistant or the Upgrade Advisor or this. There's like a 486-page technical reference that allows you to look at all the facets of a SQL Server upgrade. A fantastic jumpstart that you can look at is the SQL Server 2008 Jumpstart Kit. And it has a section specifically on upgrades that allows you to look at how to do the upgrade process. It's got a lab on the upgrade process. It's got multiple PowerPoints and presentations you can look at as far as the upgrade goes as well. Then there's a white paper on the SQL Server upgrade. There's a best practices analyzer. There's also a system configuration check, and you're also going to want to leverage the Management Studio of SQL Server in its own right. The primary tools that you're going to want to leverage for an upgrade is this one in particular, SQL Server Upgrade Advisor. This encapsulates all of the best practices that are in this roughly 500-page upgrade technical reference. You've also got the Upgrade Assistant, and this is a tool that was written by scalability experts. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but it allows you to take a trace that was run, say, on a 2005 version, run that trace on 2008 and find out, hey, is my performance decent? Am I having any compatibility issues with that running that trace on a later version? And then to a lesser degree, but definitely not that much less important, it depends on what types of upgrade you're doing. If it's specifically around things like DTS to SSIS, you'll want to be using this DTS Exchange by Pragmatic Works or Best Practices Analyzer from Microsoft. That's a free download. The System Configuration Checker, SQL Server Profiler, there's a SQL Server Deprecated Features Object Counter that is nice just to find out, hey, you know, my system is telling me that I'm using these deprecated features. There's a Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit that you'll want to download for free. And there's also built into 2008 R2 a DTS or SSAS Migration Wizard. So all the tools here, all the links here are free. You just need to do a search of the web and for these specific types of information, and you'll get those all for free. Now, let's talk about the Upgrade Advisor specifically. Like I said, this Upgrade Advisor is going to encapsulate all the best practices of the white paper that talks about all the things that you need to be aware of for a SQL Server upgrade. The SQL Server Upgrade Advisor does things like it analyzes all your engine components, whether it's the engine itself, SQL Server engine, database engine, the analysis services, notification services, which is now deprecated, reporting services, DTS, integration services. It'll look at all these things and it will give you warnings about if it's something that's going to cause you problems in an upgrade, if things are not best practices, if they're out of date, deprecated, if there's going to be problems in the upgrade. Then it gives you a list of issues that and a report, and it says, you know, before you do this, you've got to change this thing that is going to be a blocker in the upgrade, or after you do the upgrade, you need to resolve this, or you know, at some point you need to resolve this. It also gives you advisory notices and warnings, and here's a screenshot of it as well. Let me go back and see if I can get that screenshot. Yeah. And so this is the Upgrade Advisor Analysis Wizard. You'd run through this, and in this case, we only checked the SQL Server engine itself. If you wanted to check any of these components and run that, then you'll see that it's going to give you a list of things that you can change either anytime, advisory warnings, things like that. And you just give it the server name and the instance, and then you're off to the races. And this is a bit of a different look at it. If you look at the Upgrade Advisor, you can see that you need to fix this before, this anytime, some advisory messages. And so it's a really nice way of looking at your SQL Server. And you, like I said, you can download the tool for free, run it. It takes probably less than an hour to download it and run it. And it's a very thorough and exhaustive kind of a tool that will give you a really good feel for where you're at from an upgrade standpoint. Now, in addition to that, there's something called the Upgrade Assistant. The Upgrade Assistant is another free download. It was written by scalability experts. And what you can do with the Upgrade Assistant is that you can actually capture a workload. You can establish a baseline in, say, 2005 or 2000, and you can take that workload and run it against 2008, and then what it'll do is it'll do a profiler trace comparison between the two. And if you want to run it, say, on a 64-bit 2008 system to see what my performance increases are going to be, then you'll be able to see that as well. The way that you're going to want to run this upgrade assistant is you're going to set up your test server, run your upgrade assistant, and like we talked about earlier, you want to run an upgrade advisor as well to find out if there's any problems. And that again references that close to 500-page upgrade technical reference, and it goes through all the different checks that are needed there. What you can do is replay a baseline trace and find out, hey, is this thing running faster, slower? Do I need to make changes, et cetera, et cetera? You can replay the test on both, say, your 2005 and 2008 instance, then you can compare the results. So it's a great tool for kind of getting a sense of where you're at. And like I said, it uses SQL Server Profiler to you can run the workload, you can run the same activity on both servers, find out if it's behaving properly, and then get a really nice report on the before and the after. And if you see if you have an extra line here, then it's going to show you that there's some kind of syntax or issue that did work fine on the 2005 side, but say on the 2008 side, you're going to have an error. So it's a nice way of doing that ahead of time so that you're not going to run into problems when you're actually you do the upgrade and you run into some production, you're not going to have the same types of problems. There's also something we mentioned earlier called the System Monitor Performance Counter. This perfmon counter looks at deprecated features, and it's useful in terms of you can just run this on your current system in the background and find out the number of times a deprecated feature gets run, what the deprecated features are, and just being aware of, you know, the fact that this may cause you problems as you go forward if you do an upgrade without changing that feature. From a data transformation services standpoint specifically, there's a couple different ways you can do an upgrade from DTS to SSIS. You can, one, just leave it alone, leave it in legacy mode, or run this DTS exec. That will run the DTS package as it was in a legacy mode. You can also do things like rewrite it. You can run the migration wizard against it and see if it will migrate effectively. And if you have hundreds or thousands of package, then Pragmatic Works has a product called DTS Exchange that allows you to do upgrades of large amounts of SSIS packages. Here's just a quick slide on the DTS upgrade package that Pragmatic Works has called DTS Exchange. Like I said, it's an automated way to do an upgrade of your DTS packages, and it does conversions and very powerful tool. They also have a consulting service that will help with that as well. A separate tool that's optional that you can download for 2005 and 2000 is the Best Practices Analyzer. And in 2008 and going forward, we have those best practices. You can encapsulate those in terms of policies and run those policies against your SQL Server. But in 2000 and 2005, you can download this Best Practice Analyzer, and it will run against your system and tell you, you know, this is not a best practice, the way that you've set up this system. You might want to check this out. You might want to reconsider the way you've written this. You might want to look at the way that you're starting a service, or that you're configuring a database, or the way that you're doing, say, a certain backup method or database integrity checks, things like that. So it's going to look through your entire system, give you a report of what is and is not a best practice from a SQL Server standpoint. Also, a system configuration checker. This is something that's also used in clustering setup, but it looks at how is your setup and are you ready for an in-place upgrade. So it's going to look at your hardware and software requirements, checks the conditions that prevent an upgrade, and reports issues there. So again, it's a nice safety measure to do a configuration check prior to doing an upgrade. And here are some of the bullet points that relate to the SCC. Make sure you're connected to the internet, your registry keys are consistent, CPU architectures match. If it's clusters online, is it supported by the operating system, et cetera, et cetera. So just some nice bells and whistles. Again, it's a free tool and it's worth running on your system. What are the different techniques and types of upgrades that are available in SQL Server? Well, this is a good chart to look at things like strategic importance on one axis and complexity on the other. And depending on if it's a low strategic importance or high strategic importance, you might take more and more steps the more strategic and complex it is. So if something's very simple, you might just do an upgrade in place. If something's very complex, you might do lots of post-upgrade optimizations because this may be your bread and butter app. And it just depends on where on the spectrum, how much time you want to put into it. If you're going to run the upgrade advisor, which is always important to do, app compatibility testing, which is the upgrade assistant, that is important, but maybe not for every database. So you've got to look on this spectrum and decide where to do that. And then, as is important in any kind of activity, you always want to create a plan. So making sure your skill sets are up to date, knowing all the tasks you need to do ahead of time. So you want to come up with performance baselines, estimate the amount of time it's going to take, have a checklist of all the things you need to do to make sure that upgrade's going to be successful, who needs to be contacted in case of emergencies, what kind of applications depend on this database, having a backup and restore plan. If things go south, you always definitely want to have a backup. What's going to give you the proper kind of validation and acceptance criteria? What is the meaning of success as it relates to this upgrade? How do I roll back? And then some post-deployment tasks, some kind of mop-up and cleanup of the task once you're done with the upgrade. Now, in one of the white papers I referenced earlier, the upgrade white paper, it has a checklist, and this is a sample checklist, but having something like this, you can create it in Visio or some other tool that you want to step through. You know, what are the functionalities that I want to look at? What are the decisions I need to make? And if it's successful, what are my cleanup steps? If it's not successful, what are my remediation steps? So having some kind of plan in place to do the upgrade and to deal with contingencies is always important. And here's a nice flowchart to look at from just a high-level standpoint. One, you always want to run the upgrade advisor. That's the most important thing you can do. Then you want to run the upgrade assistant to do scaling and testing to make sure that is copacetic with your upgrade advisor. These two should be in concert and kind of confirm each other. Then you want to do things like document the existing system, develop tests and benchmarks, formulate a test and rollback plan. So this is your pre-upgrade considerations, alerting people that the upgrade's coming, all those kinds of steps, making sure the SME, the subject matter expert in charge of the applications is aware the upgrade's going to happen, remediation plans, picking the right time of the year based on your organization, et cetera, et cetera. Then figuring out what kind of strategy I want. Am I going to do an in-place upgrade or side-by-side upgrade? We'll talk about what the two types of upgrades those are. Then actually doing the upgrade itself. And then immediately after that, what are the post-upgrade considerations? Was it successful? Was it not successful? What do we do about making sure that all the system databases are configured correctly, all the indexes are up to date, all the kind of system settings that I need are up to date, TempDB is configured correctly, et cetera, et cetera. So documenting every step is important. You don't want to leave things any stone unturned. Making sure the database is consistent and healthy once you're done, that you've got network and health alerts set up, knowing who your emergency contact people are, making sure the backup's done, performing the upgrade, monitoring the progress, and executing your upgrade tasks. And those upgrade tasks will depend on which types of services that you upgrade, whether it's analysis services, integration services, reporting, the database itself, et cetera, et cetera. So just having a really good plan in mind will make things go a lot more smoothly. Documenting your current implementation. So get running these different tools to figure out what is my configuration of my SQL Server, of the actual Windows Server itself, what are the options that are set on my server, capturing baseline data. So there's really no question about, is the performance improved? So, because you could do the upgrade and you could say, you know, someone could say, hey, it's not performing as well as it used to. Well, is that really the case based on the captures that we have? And if the counters are saying, yeah, you know, it's performing the way that we expected it to, then you have a line in the sand where you can go back to. What are the unit verification tests that I need to really qualify that, yes, this was in fact a success? What are the deprecated features, things that in the next version are going to be gone out of the system? And then discontinued features, if something is in the current edition, it's going to be flagged by the SQL Server advisor, and it's going to tell you, you know, the upgrade advisor is going to tell you that this thing is not going to work anymore. So that should be something that you're already aware of. And then pre-upgrade considerations. There's a lot. This is probably the most tedious and longest step, and it's about 4 or 5 slides here. But things like behavior changes. What are the things that are going to break the application script's functionalities based on earlier versions? Backward compatibility issues, undocumented system stored procs, things that are deprecated like virtual cubes, dimensions, dump load. Those get deprecated, backup with truncate only. Any kind of T-SQL statements that are being deprecated or are no longer available in the system are going to have to be looked at. Again, the best way to look at that is through the upgrade advisor. And then things that might change your applications, if they're changed in reporting, replication, et cetera, all around things like the database, the analysis services, integration services reporting, 64-bit considerations. If you're going from 32 to 64, making sure that you're aware of that, and things like an in-place upgrade cannot be done from a 32-bit system to a 64-bit system. So being aware of things like that. And then failover clustering is also always kind of a unique situation. So making sure that you've done your homework and you've read up on things related to failover clustering. And we'll talk about an example of that in a second. From a business standpoint, making sure that all your internal department communications are clear, there's no collisions with other activities or business initiatives, that servers are not restarted when you expect them to be off, that the SAN page doesn't go off, that you have the subject matter expert access to that person, and you have any emergency support contacts. All these are good operational best practices to be aware of around an upgrade. And then things like, how is this going to affect COM components, extended store procs, common language runtime assemblies? If I have linked servers, are those going to break? Any kind of cross-database dependencies, DTS packages? All these things need to be considered ahead of time for an upgrade. If there's third-party software, that needs to be looked at. Any software in general that depends on the SQL Server, Lightspeed, any kind of third-party software like that. All those need to be taken into consideration. Encryption, keys, antivirus, blah, blah, blah. There's two main types of upgrades. There's an in-place upgrade, and there's a side-by-side upgrade. The in-place upgrade is, you can see here, it's a single machine. You put your setup disk in, you run the upgrade, and theoretically you're done. A side-by-side upgrade is a little bit safer, but a little more tedious, because what you basically do is you do a backup here and then restore it on another machine. It's not as efficient as the in-place upgrade, but it's safer because you have the old system running until the new one can be verified. So each one of these types of upgrades has their own pros and cons. In-place is easier, it's automated. The name on the network is the same. No additional hardware is required. It carries more risk, but in the side-by-side, you have an upgrade of a single component or database. The legacy server is available, so you have the old server still available. You can, in fact, go from 32 to 64-bit, whereas in the in-place you can't. And you could go from a non-clustered to clustered. So those are some advantages and disadvantages of either type of model. So you really need to decide on the upgrade strategy whether you're going to go with in-place or side-by-side based on things like database size, the maintenance jobs, tolerance for downtime, the type of hardware capacity and age, system dependencies, and time it takes to back up. So really, those are things that you need to decide as an organization. And as we talked about earlier, kind of the steps for a side-by-side are installing the new instance of SQL Server, doing the backup and restore, essentially having this two servers side by side, and it's mostly a manual process. You have to do things like copy over logins, things like that. So that's the and making sure that all your system jobs and those kinds of things are replicated over. So it's a little more tedious, but it is safer. So you have more control and things of that nature. Let me go back to this slide. So you can test your migration out. You can run side by side. It's relatively straightforward. The cons is it usually requires additional hardware and requires a server and database name change. This is kind of the way it looks. You've got a 2005 instance on the left. On the right, you've got a 2008 instance, and you're moving over these databases or components, whether it's analysis services or the database. You verify it, and then you switch over your users to this new server. So it's pretty seamless in that regard. It is safer. It's a little bit more tedious. Now, if you go in place, what you're going to do, we talked about putting in the disk, you're doing the upgrade, maintains the same name. And some of the pros and cons there, it's fast, the system is upgraded as a whole, no additional hardware is required, and all the applications remain pointing at the same type of application. Let me just go back to the cons here. It's less granular, it's all or nothing in terms of the in place. It's all or nothing. So if you get a side by side, you can at least have piecemeal, and the instance is offline during the upgrade. So, and the rollback strategy, unless it's a virtual machine, is fairly complicated. The way it looks is, you put your disk in, you do the upgrade, and voila, it goes from 2005 to 2008, and you kind of get what you get when you're done. So, like I said, if it's a virtual machine, it's a little bit safer because you can do a clone of that virtual machine and you can go back to the way it was. Now, in terms of the failover cluster upgrade itself, say in this situation you've got an active passive setup, you've got a disk array in the middle, and let's just walk through kind of the scenario here. What you're wanting to do is you're going to focus on the passive node first, and we're going to do an upgrade of that. So let's go ahead and step through kind of the steps. You take the passive node, you install the prerequisites, then you switch over the two machines, you make the passive the active, and then you fail over, you do the upgrade on the other server. And that's really the way that you do the upgrade. It's called a rolling upgrade. Step three, then you want to upgrade SQL Server on the passive node. You remove from the cluster group possible owners. And then the active node, which is initially the passive node, now you just swap, you swap that over, and then at that point you can take your passive node and apply SQL Server 2008 to that. So it's a multi-step process, but it's called a rolling upgrade, and it's a new feature in SQL Server 2008. So let's talk about tips, tricks, and tasks for the upgrade. So there's some things like in terms of the post-upgrade tasks, what you want to do is you want to decide whether to roll back or not. If things have been successful, you obviously stick with what you've got. You want to ensure that performance is good. And then you've got things like short and medium and long-term planning. So in the immediate term, you take some initial steps to make sure the system is optimized and performing well, and take advantage of some of the low-hanging fruit. And then medium and long term are self-explanatory. So some of the post-upgrade tasks, you want to look at all your logs, you want to look at the upgrade advisor recommendations, upgrade stats to ensure performance, verify agent jobs, security settings, database consistency. Check for things like your configuration manager, make sure things like your TCP/IP settings are correct, your tempdb is configured correctly, that your consistency of your database, common table expressions, cursors, multiple active record sets, row versioning, service broker triggers, all those things, model and master databases, and are consistent, and then performing unit and verification tests, that you've got all your jobs that are kind of moved over and running well, that you've got a backup plan and a maintenance plan set up. And then taking advantage of things like new data types or file, say file stream, spatial, date and time, all those types of data types. management benefits, new dynamic management views, new reporting types of paradigms, the database tuning advisor, testing that out against your new setup, doing things like reevaluating indexes and stats, making sure that changes in the optimizer haven't slowed things down, and just in general, making sure your system is running efficiently and effectively. Converting things like DTS packages to SSIS, looking at different encryption options, auditing if schemas are something that's going to play part. If you've gone from 2000, 2008 R2, then you want to look at the schema options as well. So in summary, upgrades are conceptually simple, but there's databases and systems in general are complex. So you definitely want to test. You want to have a great plan in place and don't jump to any conclusions before you've actually tested your system and made sure it's functioning properly. Hopefully that helps you understand upgrades, and feel free to contact me. I'm Mike, W-I-L-M, at Microsoft.com. Have a great day. Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. Today I want to talk to you about the SQL 2005 to 2008 upgrade process. If you need to contact me about this, I'm Mike, W-I-L-M, at Microsoft.com. And the steps we're going to cover today are, one, a tools overview for the upgrade process. The next is how to restore a 2005 database as the base database for our upgrade. The next one is to run the upgrade advisor, the SQL Server upgrade advisor. The next one after that is to do a side-by-side upgrade from 2005 to 2008. That's one of the two methods that you can use for an upgrade. The next one is to take a pre-existing trace file and run that on the 2005 server as a baseline. After that, we'll take that same trace file and run it on the 2008 server. And finally, once those two trace files have been established on the 2005-2008 server, we'll compare the trace files and see if that comparison syncs up with what we did when we ran the upgrade advisor here on step 3. So that's a quick agenda for today. So let's go over the tools for the upgrade process step here. What are the tools that a person needs for the upgrade process? Well, the main thing that you need initially is Management Studio. Management Studio can host a 2008 database as well as the older 2005 databases. And in addition to that, what you'll want is the SQL Server Upgrade Assistant, the Upgrade Advisor. And the Upgrade Advisor is a piece of software that actually encapsulates the best practices found in these two documents, the SQL Server 2008 Upgrade Technical Reference, which is about 500 pages, and the same for the SQL Server 2005 Upgrade Technical Reference. So what I'm going to do real quickly is I'm going to fire up some of those assets that we talked about, and we'll look at those real quick. So let's look. Firstly, we're going to look at the SQL Server Upgrade Assistant, and that's by Scalability Experts. They created this tool. And if you just do a search on SQL Server Upgrade, let's look at the assistant actually. The assistant, then you'll be able to go to that tool and download that tool for free. Now, this tool also encapsulates the Upgrade Advisor that is a Microsoft tool. So if you go to that Upgrade Advisor right here, then you can go to that. There's a 2005 and 2008 version. If you go to the 2008 version, you can download that tool. And the Upgrade Advisor has all the best practices found in these gigantic technical references that do soup to nuts on the whole upgrade process. So if you go to that technical reference, there's a 2008 version here and a 2005 version as well. I downloaded the 2008 version here, and just real quickly I'll walk through this what the table of contents is in the reference. But it's a fantastic document. It goes through all the different types of services that SQL Server has, from the database engine, analysis services, integration services, reporting services, clustering, the management tools, everything that you need to know that is affected by an upgrade, this document has. So it covers things like, you know, types of upgrades, upgrade tools, and all the different caveats that you'll need to do when you develop an upgrade plan. Like I said, management tools, preparing for the upgrade, upgrading from 2000 or 2005, looking at relational databases in place versus side-by-side upgrades, performing the upgrade, high availability, log shipping, replication, database security, full-text search, service broker, T-SQL, notification services, Upgrading for them things like MSDE, analysis services and data mining, integration services, reporting services. So it's a very thorough document. And like I said, all this information is encapsulated in the Upgrade Advisor. And the Upgrade Advisor is actually encapsulated in the Upgrade Assistant. So the Upgrade Assistant, that's what I have on this document here. The Upgrade Assistant is kind of the superset. And then once you dive into that, you can fire up the Upgrade Advisor, and the Upgrade Advisor encapsulates all the best practices from these two technical references. So that covers the step one here. I'm just going to put a X by it to show that we covered that. And the next step that we're going to do is we're going to do a restoration of a 2005 Yukon database as the base database. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire up Management Studio here. Management Studio allows you to manage SQL Server databases. It's backwards compatible, so the 2008 version of Management Studio can backwards compatible manage a 2005 or a 2000 instance. And what I've got running on this server, I've got both a 2008 instance of SQL Server called Miami and a 2005 called Yukon. And the 2005 is actually a named instance. So I'm going to connect to both these servers, and then we'll be able to manage those both from the console. You can see that they're both running, and you can see that this is version 10, this is version 9. Version 10 is 2008, version 9 is version 2005. There are no databases right now in either the 2008 server or the 2005 server. So what we're going to do is establish a baseline server. We're assuming that there is a SQL Server 2005 instance out there that we want to replicate that environment to this Yukon server, establish a baseline here, and then do a upgrade of the 2005 instance to 2008. Obviously, we're going to do this in a sandbox so we don't hurt anything in production. Now, what I'm going to also do is go and fire up the SQL Server Upgrade Assistant. You can see here it's part of the Scalability Experts node in the Start menu. So I'm going to fire that up, and we'll be able to see the UI for that. There is a SQL Server 2005 node here, a 2008 node here. If you click on the upgrade from 2000 to 2008, what happens is this green text starts to replicate up here and here. So if I click on that, the context menu changes to 2000. If I click on the 2005, then it becomes red to 2005-2008. So we're going to focus on the 2005 to 2008 part today. And just looking at some of the menus here, you can do things like capture a playback, set up a baseline server, run the Upgrade Advisor. And again, the Upgrade Advisor is a Microsoft tool. We're going to go ahead and launch that right now just so we can see the UI for that. And we'll use that a little bit later. But you can see how it's kind of a superset. And like I said, the Upgrade Advisor actually encapsulates all the best practices found in this upgrade technical reference. So they stair-step quite nicely in terms of a hierarchy there. Now we're also going to be using this playback directory under the C drive, C playback. It's got a trace file that we captured previously. We'll use that as kind of a workload that we're going to play back and test on the 2005 and the 2008 instance. We've also got this a back file. What we're going to do is we're going to take that back file, assume it's from a production 2005 server. We're going to restore that to our existing 2005 Yukon server here. And then what we'll do eventually is take that database and do an upgrade from the 2005 to 2008. We'll do a side-by-side upgrade. We're also going to be using this base32 data directory for the 2005 data directory. And then we're going to be using this test32 data for the test directory for our 2008 database. So we're going to take the backup file, restore it to the base32 directory, and then we're also going to take that same information, we're going to restore it to the test32 as an in-place upgrade. The other directory we'll be using is the output directory, and we'll be using that for our trace files, and we'll output the results of the trace file runs here, and what we'll do is eventually we'll be able to do a diff between the 2005 and 2008 results, and we'll see that a little bit later. So at this point, what we're going to do is we're going to test a connection to our 2005 server. That was successful. Then we've pointed our playback source directory. What this is really doing is we're going to get a restore of the database files that are located in this playback directory. So we're ultimately going to get the back file from IDB01, and that's going to restore in this playback Base32 data. So let's go ahead and set that up. We'll fire it up. It's telling us it's going to overwrite some stuff, and it's going to create the database on the 2005 server that's going to be our main database for the comparison. So let's come in here, do a refresh. And there we go, MyDB01. If we do the comparison to the 2008 server, nothing's there, and that's kind of the way we designed it. So now that we've restored this test database, MyDB01, into the Yukon server, and we know it's valid, what we can do now is we can look at the launching the upgrade advisor. We already launched that from within the upgrade assistant. And so let's go ahead and look at the upgrade advisor and launch the analysis wizard here. What this is going to do, like I said before, is it encapsulates all the practices in this monster upgrade technical reference, and it goes through all the rules that you might need to go through, whether it's the SQL Server Engine, analysis services, notification services, whatever type of service you're going to upgrade, it'll go through that. And it's right now it's going to look the server name that we care about is the Miami server, because that's the Windows server that we're on. So we're going to hit next here. And then the instance name that we care about is we care about the Yukon server because it's the 2005 server that we want to look at the database server or the database that we just imported. And we want to run this on the MyDB01 database. We also want to analyze a trace file that is in our system. So we're going to go to our playback director in the C drive, and once we have the trace file there, we're going to load it in. And this playback is something that you've captured earlier that may be a traditional kind of a load that you do every day on your server or some kind of workload that you want to test. Hey, is all these statements, are they all going to run properly both on the 2005 server? We know that. How are they going to run in 2008? So this is going to be kind of a test run to see how is this going to run on 2008? Are there potential problems? The upgrade advisor output, it's gonna run through dozens and dozens of tests. The output of the upgrade advisor should ultimately match something close to what we get from the upgrade assistant. If we actually take that trace file and run that on the upgrade assistant from the 05 and 08 trace files, we should see that some of the problems that the advisor gives us should be echoed in what the assistant tells us that the actual problems are when we replay a trace file. So there should be a nice synergy between this tool and the upgrade assistant. So we'll do a comparison of the trace files a little bit later, but again, right now we're just running the upgrade advisor to see what the main problems it would see in doing an upgrade from 05 to 08 given this trace file. So while the upgrade advisor is running the trace file against the what would be the 08 instance, I'm going to come back here to the agenda and check this off because we actually did restore the database, the 2005 database on the 2005 server. And now we're running the upgrade advisor, so I'm going to go ahead and check that off. So we're going to let that keep running, and the next step we're going to do is this 2005-2008 side-by-side upgrade so we can actually come in here and replay the same trace file on 2005 and then on 2008 and then compare the analysis of those two with the upgrade assistant. So now we see that the upgrade advisor has finished completing all its tests based on the trace file and the 2005 database. We're going to launch a report and kind of see what kind of errors it's seeing. And you can see that it's saying when to fix things. It could be before the upgrade that you have to do it, anytime. It could be after. So, and then we've got some advisory messages. So it looks like before we do the upgrade, we've got to remove dump and load statements from the scripts because that is no longer supported in 2008. So that's something to be aware of. If you want to see the affected objects, you can go ahead and click on that as well. So we've got five different warnings here, and now what we're going to do is we're going to go into the next step. So let's take a look at our agenda. And the next step we're going to do is the side-by-side upgrade. So to do the side-by-side upgrade, what we need to do is we need to go into the Miami Yukon server, the 2005 server, and ultimately we're going to stop that. What we're going to find out is where our database files are for the MyDB01 database. Now we know that we restored that to the C playback database 32 data directory. Now we're not going to be able to copy those until we actually stop the SQL server. So let's go back to that, and we're going to go to the Management Studio. We're going to stop the service here. And then what we're going to do is and obviously never do this on a production system, but we're going to stop this. And then what we're going to do is copy the files from the base32 directory, and we're going to put those in the test32 directory. Then what we'll do from there is we're going to take those files, and we'll do an in-place upgrade on the 2008 server. So let's copy those over. Those copied over fine, looks like. I'm going to come back here and restart this service. And now what I'm also going to do is come back into the 2008 version. So I'm going to attach a database here, the one that was just dropped in the test directory. So let's go ahead and do that. So this is tantamount to a in-place upgrade. We've got the database running on the version 10 server, 2008. We've also got the same database running on the Yukon server, which is the 2005. So that's essentially an in-place upgrade. So we can go ahead, that's a side-by-side upgrade. An in-place upgrade would be when you actually just take the setup disk and you drop it on this server, and it upgrades everything in place from 2005 to 2008. You could do that. There's risks involved there because it's kind of it's success or failure. So doing a side-by-side upgrade where you take the data files and you port them over to the 2008 database is less risky. You also have to do things like take users and port them over as well. So there's pros and cons to both, but like I said, this is a side-by-side upgrade. So what we're going to do now, we've got our original trace file, and what we want to do is run that trace file both against the 2005 database that we set up on the Yukon server, as well as the database that we set up on the 2008 server. And we're going to take some trace files and dump them out to this C playback output directory. So what we're going to do is we click on the run trace replay from 2005, which is the first server that we're going to look at. Test our connection there. We've got the trace file coming from the playback directory, and then again we're going to take our output and put it into this this other directory here, this output directory. So let's go ahead and replay the trace first on the 2005 instance. So run that, and again it's running this trace file against the 2005 instance. Once that's done, it's going to give all the statistics about that trace that was run on the 2005 server. So that's done. You can see it dumped a trace file for the 2005 server here in this output directory. What we'll do now is we'll run a trace replay on the 2008 server, and we're going to test a connection to the Miami 2008 server. We're going to replay that trace, and instead of dumping it out as 2005.trace, we'll dump it out here as 2008.trace. So we've got the same trace file that was the playback. Run that playback on the 2008, and we should see some of the similar errors that we got with the upgrade advisor being thrown by the upgrade assistant here. So let's replay that trace and see what happens. You can see that it created this 2008 trace file up here, and it's running through all the tests right now that are based on the workload that we gave it. What we'll do now is for our final analysis, we have the trace file that we generated for 2005, the one we generated for 2008. We loaded those into this comparison grid here, and then what we're going to do is compare those two profiler traces. So we're going to run this, and ultimately we'll get a comparison generated of those two profilers that we'll be able to view trace differences here on the left side on this link right here. So when that's done, we'll go ahead and do that. So if I go ahead and click on the view trace differences now, it's just click on the share results button here, and then we're going to see the results are different. Between this is the 2005 side here, this is the 2008 side on the right, and what you can see here is that you've got the events running similarly, except for you'll see some extra lines here. And what those extra lines do is they show that there's some kind of error. And so when you find that there's an extra line here, you want to investigate what is the error, what is the syntax that is not working. So there's a DBC syntax that was incorrect in this USP cache stat. So that's one thing we need to be aware of. If we go to the next event, there's five events. If we go to the next event, we see there's an extra line here. So we see that the dump statement, which was identified by the SQL Server Upgrade Advisor, is something that's a problem. So that's great that it identified that. And again, you can just keep going through these extra lines, find the items that are going to cause problems on 2008, and you can identify all those, and then go to the last event. And the last event is nice because it gives you kind of an idea in terms of the hit ratio and the percentage of how effective or not your comparisons between the two traces are. You want your hit ratio to be above 80% between the 2005 and the 2008 run, and that means you've got a high probability of success because both those traces are generally very successful. If you've got a very low percentage, say, you know, only 20% of the statements were effective, then you've got, you know, significant problems that you've got to look into by really combing through the Upgrade Advisor data before you go ahead and run the Upgrade Assistant. So hopefully that helps out, and if we look back in our agenda, hopefully we've covered everything we set out to. Again, we covered things like the tools overview. If you go back to the tools, then you can see that here are the main tools: the Management Studio, Upgrade Assistant, Upgrade Advisor, the technical reference. Again, all those are surfaced up through the web. Those are free downloads. And then we went through the whole process of the actual upgrade, and the actual upgrade itself consisted of looking at the tools, restoring the 2005 database as a base server, running the Upgrade Advisor, then doing a side-by-side upgrade, then replaying a trace file in 2005, replaying the same trace file in 2008, and then doing a comparison of those two trace files as a final analysis. And all of those steps were done with the Upgrade Assistant. So hopefully that's been helpful. And feel free to contact me. I'm Mike, WILM, at Microsoft.com. Thank you.